Let's stand now and ask God to bless the teaching and preaching of His holy, eternal, inerrant written word, shall we? Stand together with me. Oh Lord God, this is Your holy word. We are Your servants. Give us understanding that we might know Your testimonies. You have prayed, O Lord God, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Use Your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word this hour to set us apart for Your service and Your glory. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. For the sower sows the word. Bless now the one who speaks. Bless those who hear, that Your word might reign supreme on all that is said and thought this hour. Draw us now unto Jesus through Your word. Show us great and mighty things which we do not know. O Lord God, protect us from Satan, that he would not snatch the word of God. Protect us from the world's cares and the delight of wealth and the passion of other interests, that they would not choke Your word, causing it to be fruitless. Protect us from a wrong reaction to the difficulties and discouragements and the trials of life, that Your word would not fall on rocky ground, again being fruitless. Give us good ground this morning, O Lord God. Plow up the hard ground of our hearts, that when Your seed falls, it may send roots downward, bear fruit upward. Let not Your word go out this hour and return void, but rather accomplish that purpose for which You have gathered us together and for which You are sending it out. Unsheathe now the sword of Your Spirit, O Lord God. Cut to the dividing point of bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Judge now the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, O God. O Lord God, spread Your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word before us as a banquet table. Let us drink deeply of the milk of the great doctrines of Your word. Give us meat to eat, that we might be able to discern clearly between that which is sin and that which is righteousness, O Lord God. Dear Lord, we live in a dark and wicked age. Broad is the way, and many are on it, which leads to destruction. There are ways which seem right to men, and the ways therein are the ways of death. Make Your word to us a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Show us that narrow way in which You would have us walk. O Lord our God, as we run in the path of Your commandments, enlarge our hearts, O Lord God, that we might love You more, and in so loving You, O Lord God, that we might obey You. Open Your word to us, O Lord, as a mirror, that we might see who we are and what we are about. Let us not be as one who takes a look at himself and promptly forgets how he looks. That we would not be forgetful listeners deceiving ourselves, but active obeyers of Your word. Drop Your word before us now as a plumb line, and grant grace that we might align ourselves to it. O Lord God, because of our fealty to You, because of our undying love and devotion to Your Son, our Savior, we pledge total submission to Your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word, and we pledge unquestioning obedience to its commands. In the name of our Lord and resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. You may be seated, please. No problem.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
This is the youth service. Next hour will be the family service. We are looking at the marriage covenant in the family service. Matthew 19:4-6 says, "And he answered and said, Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Consequently, they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." That is the command of God concerning marriage. So I'll be speaking this morning to the youth. We will be looking rather than at God's command for marriage, preparation for marriage. Preparation for marriage for our youth. The first thing that we have to understand is that we live in an unfaithful age. And simply because man is unfaithful, we should not assume that God is unfaithful. You take a course, you don't like it, it's harder than you anticipated, you quit. You take a job, you don't like it, it's harder, it's more difficult than you anticipated, you quit. You commit yourself to an activity at church. It takes more time, it takes more effort than you anticipated. You quit. You begin a scripture memory program. You begin memorizing. You maybe memorize 1, 2, 3 verses. It becomes difficult. Life takes over. You become distracted. You quit. You decide you want to read through the Bible every year. All you have to do is read 2 or 3 pages every year to do this. You begin reading January, closing to February. You get distracted. Other things take over. You quit. We live in an unfaithful age. And it is easy to think that because by our very nature we are quitters, that God is a quitter. God has said, God is not man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? God, our Creator, our Master, our Lord, has said, what God has joined together, let no man separate. When the disciples heard this, what was their reaction? What was their reaction? The disciples were there. They saw Jesus' facial expression, didn't they? They saw the fire in his eye, didn't they? They saw the set of his jaw as he spoke of the holiness and sanctity of the marriage union. And when they saw his zeal, the fire in his eye, the set in his jaw, how he spoke about the fidelity of marriage, they shrugged their shoulders and mumbled to each other, "Well, it's better not to marry." God has a very high standard. And God said, if you pledge yourself to me in a marriage covenant, you cannot quit. What would it be like? You took a course. You get about into the third week. It's going to be a lot harder than you think. So you decide, I'm going to quit that course. Next morning, about 8 a.m., you hear a knock at the door. You open it. And there's 2 uniformed officers at the door with guns, and on their hats it says CP. And you say, "Who are you? We're the course police. You can't quit. Come with us." What would you say? What kind of school is this? God says, "You can't quit. I won't recognize it." You can lie to yourself. Other people can lie to you. You cannot quit. What I have joined together, I will allow no man to separate. Let me encourage you, young people, to go into the marriage union with a very serious mindset. My son served in the military. When he was about to join the military, I said, Sam, things are going to be a little different if you join the military. You've never been in a situation where if you try to walk away from it, they arrest you and throw you into jail. You can't decide halfway into it that you want to do something else. It's a serious decision, isn't it? Marriage is far more serious than that. Well, what are the four most important activities which you can engage in which will prepare you for marriage? What are those? I'd like to give those to the young singles who are here this morning. The four most important activities that you can engage in which will prepare you for marriage. The first is the Word of God. In Ephesians 5:25, God the Holy Spirit says to His church, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her that He might sanctify her. In Ephesians 5:25, commands as it does for the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church, then those verses which typify Christ's undying love for His church typify a husband's love for his wife. In Ephesians 5:24, the Word of God says, you wives, be subject to your husbands as the church also is subject to Christ, He Himself being the Savior of the body. If Ephesians 5:24 is correct, then those verses which explain and depict the church's undying devotion and love for Christ should also explain and depict and illustrate the Christian wife's undying love and devotion for her husband. If we are to love as Christ loved, then we must, in preparation, make God's holy, eternal, inerrant Word central to our lives. Psalm 119:9-11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against God. We begin by memorizing Scripture. Now, Kenya is in a text messaging revolution. Everywhere I go, I see people. And at first, I thought they were very spiritual. I thought, you know, I would be at a meeting, I would be at a meal, it would be a church, it would be a conference, and I would see people like this, with their hands together. And I thought they were praying. They're texting, aren't they? If they're over 40, they're praying. If they're under 30, they're texting, aren't they? I wonder how many text message numbers you have memorized. How many keyboards have you? You have, just through the text messaging revolution alone, memorized thousands of pieces of data. How many verses in the Bible can you quote for? We memorize that which is important to us in order that throughout the day we might think about it and allow it to guide us. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you might be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Can you honestly tell me that you spend more of your free time memorizing, reviewing, and meditating upon the holy, inerrant, eternal Word of God than you do text messaging? Can you say that? Where's your verse pad? I have my verse pad with me. If there's some free time, I'm stuck in traffic, I'm at the bank, I'm waiting around for someone for an appointment, I can get out my verses and work on them. I can memorize. I can meditate. I can turn my thoughts towards my Heavenly Father. How do you spend your free time? What is more often in your hand? Your text phone or your verse pen? Let's be honest, shall we? You see, God the Holy Spirit says to His church, little children, so this is a youthful sin, let us not love in word and speech, but deed in truth. It's easier to sing about our love for the Word of God than it is to leave our cell phones in their holster and have our verse text out of their holster, isn't it? No cell phone will keep you from sin. In fact, very often, it leads to it. Your verse pack keeps you from sin. Amen. Thy words have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. This is what we want as we go through life. Psalm 119:105, that the Word of God would be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And it is my God, my desire for you, the next time that I see you with your head bowed and I say, what are you doing? That you would say, I'm sorry, Pastor, I was just working on my verse. I was just working on my verse. You see, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it is my prayer for you, young people, that one of the faith decisions that you will make as you hear the Word of God this morning will be to replace God's Word with many of your toys. With many of your toys. The Word of God is the first and most important discipline that you can give yourself to in terms of your preparation for marriage. In terms of your preparation. The second is purity. The second is purity, moral excellence. 2 Timothy 2:20 through 22 says, but in a large house there are not only gold and silver utensils, but wood and earth too. Some indeed for noble, and others for ignoble use. Therefore, whoever will cleanse himself from these things will be a utensil for a noble use, set apart, useful for the master in every good work. But flee the lusts of youth. Go in pursuit of integrity, faith, love, peace, in fellowship with those who call upon the Lord with a pure heart. That is God's command for us. Now, I'll also encourage the adults here that you don't have to be a youth to engage in youthful lust, do you? One of my prayers in my prayer notebook is from Proverbs, which says, since I'm a grandfather, grandchildren are the crown of old men. The glory of sons is their fathers. A gift my son gave me is a grandchild. A gift I give my son is to behave with dignity and holiness and spiritual maturity in my last years, not to embarrass myself or my son with the sins of youth. Isn't that right? To keep my verse back with me, to keep in the Word, and to keep steady in my walk until I finish this race. But for you who are starting the race, God says, run that race with men and women who call upon the Lord out of pure hearts. It talks about noble and ignoble vessels that God would use. It says, therefore in a large house there are not only gold and silver utensils, but wooden and earthen too. Some would be for noble and some for ignoble use. But in that passage, which utensil does God choose? Does He choose the golden one or the clay one? Which does He choose? He chooses the clean one. We were driving down the streets of Nairobi, and we were driving behind this filthy truck. It was covered with dirt and grime and grease. Black smoke was belching out of the exhaust pipe. The hoses were covered with grime. The nozzle sections where you would hook up to this tanker truck were covered with grime. And what did it say on the side? Clean water. On the side. They would pull it up in front of my house and I would say, back out of here. You come to church on Sunday. You go to youth camp. You arrive in Bible study. You present yourself at school. You are claiming to be a vessel with clean water in it, aren't you? Having the water of life to offer others, aren't you? God, the Holy Spirit in Revelation 22 says, come. The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. Let him who is thirsty come and take freely the waters of eternal life. You claim to be the cupbearer, don't you? You claim to be the vessel. What do people see when you wear your Christian t-shirt that says clean water on it? What do they see? Do they see something that would cause them to want to drink? I was at Java Adams. Eleanor was teaching a Bible study with MPC Pastor Wise in it, doing Dr. McCauley's discipleship training study for these wives. She was the guest teacher. Rather than keep the office staff, at the, I'm not on Navigator staff, but Dr. McCauley graciously has let me use his office while I'm here. Rather than keep the office staff there till 7:30, working late, I went over to Java Adams to work. Buy a cup of coffee, buy a biscuit. They have internet service there. Hop over my laptop. Well, I wasn't going to use their internet service because I had a conference the next morning. I had an early morning Bible study, all day staff training, then a conference coming up, and I needed to do Bible study. So I just pop my laptop up, I put it on internet lock, nothing comes in, nothing goes out, brought up my Bible on my screen, brought up my Word document, began working on my messages. Had my open Bible laid out in front of me. In the next 30 or 40 minutes, every single worker, I believe, if I have this right, came up and looked over my shoulder, stared at what I was working on, and said, is the internet working? Well, I couldn't tell them because I wasn't on the internet. I was wondering what was going on. Joffrey, one of the waiters there whom I frequently shared a word of testimony, came up, did the same thing, and then said, I want you to tell me how to be born again. Well, I knew something was going on here. He already knew I was a minister. He already knew I was doing Bible study. You know what was going on? Men who should know better don't look at pornography in their homes or their offices, do they? Where do they go? They go to Java Junction. Not just any type of men, men who claim to be Christians, college students who claim to be Christians, high school students who claim to be Christians, and the waiters, as they serve them, observe the filth of the water tank, don't they? And what Joffrey was seeing was perhaps a clean tank that he would want to drink from. Young people, It's one thing to wear the name clean water. It's another thing to be a clean vessel. Eleanor and I had a friend who got married, and they were trying to save money, as young people do when they get married. And they asked us if Eleanor and I would help with the reception. So we helped with the reception, and we did. Eleanor made the wedding cake, and you know, I served around, and we were cleaning up afterwards. And I, you know, how after a wedding, they're eating that cake and the food, and everything's so salty. And just want some water, don't you? No more punch, no more sugary syrupy drinks, no more tea full of sugar. Just some water, don't you? Okay, just. So I was in the kitchen, and I was looking, and around the sink were beautiful crystal and china cups and glasses that had been used in the wedding reception. But they had, some of them had cigarette butts floating in them, some of them had lipstick stains on them, some of them had little chicken legs floating in them, and pieces of cake, and oil, you know, food oil. You know how dirty dishes are after a big banquet, don't you? And I'm looking for it, you know, even though it was a beautiful crystal goblet or cup, I did, and in one of the cabinets, there were some jelly jars. They were all clean, but they were just old jelly jars used for storage, but they were clean. What did I drink my water out of? The beautiful crystal goblet with the lipstick stain on it, and the little chicken wing bone, and the cigarette butt floating in it, or the clean jelly jar? What did I drink out of? God, the Holy Spirit says, young people, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver utensils, there are wood and earthen too. Some indeed for noble, some indeed for ignoble use. Therefore, whoever will cleanse himself from these things will be a utensil for noble use. Purity of speech. Purity of dress. Dressing for the Lord and not for man. Dressing for the Lord, emulating Christ, not music stars, dressing for the Lord. I was in a pastor's home, and his son was coming down the stairs in his home with two friends. And two of the boys were dressed very nice and right, just fine young gentlemen. The other one had low pants on with his boxer shorts showing. He had chains on. He had a tight t-shirt on with arms gone, and his hair was kind of rumpled, and he was kind of walking like this. And I thought, oh, look, the pastor's son is reaching out into the community. They're trying to lead this young man. It wasn't. It was the other way around. When people see you and associate you with NPC Parkland and therefore associate you with Jesus Christ by your very appearance, what are you saying? I am an obedient son of God, and as a result am not in rebellion with God the Father, resulting in me being an obedient son to my earthly mother and father, and not in rebellion, and an obedient student at school, and not in rebellion. Look at me, I'm not rebellious, I'm a Christian. Is that what they say? It's easier to sing about it, isn't it? Yeah. Honestly, Leviticus 19:11 says, thou shalt not lie, nor steal, nor deal falsely with one another. I hate bribes. I hate bribes. If Paul hated bribes, why did he spend so much time in prison? Festus was after a bribe. King Agrippa was after a bribe. If Paul hated bribes, why was he languishing in prison? I hate bribes, but I'm in good company. Proverbs 15:27. God the Holy Spirit says, I hate bribes. You do your schoolwork. If you turn it in, is it your work that you've done? Do you work hard at your schoolwork? Honesty. How about your CDs and DVDs? Do you worship God as a result of your thieving ways? You drive down Ngong Road and the man is selling DVDs and CDs that he has stolen from your brothers and sisters in Christ, hasn't he? Off the internet. He didn't pay the royalties. He didn't buy them. He stole them. And he's willing to sell you that which he stole from his brother in Christ so that you can worship God. Does God listen to that worship? He doesn't. Some of you young people need to go home and take all of the Christian CDs that you have stolen, and you need to break them and throw them away. I love you, Jesus. I love you with all my heart. Let me show you how I love you. I'm going to steal from my sisters in Christ. I'm going to steal from my brothers in Christ. And then, having thieved, engaged in thievery, I'm going to use the fruits of that thievery to worship you. Does God receive that? You can forget. The Word of God. Purity. Honesty. I was talking with a young man named Akim. He grew up under the communist rule in East Germany. He was one of the most brilliant physicists in the university. And yet, when it came time to compromise his faith, he was unwilling to do this, and so they sent him as a Christian to shovel manure in a stall and kicked him out of school. But he told me, I would rather shovel manure for Jesus than compromise my testimony for a government job. It's unfortunate that many young people today would rather thieve to worship than just sing using their own God-given voice. Isn't that unfortunate? We're all going to die for Jesus, aren't we? No, we're not. Because dying for Jesus is a great wall that stands before us, and there are stair steps to it. Doing our scripture memory, doing our quiet time, being faithful in church, moral purity, getting off the internet, getting rid of the DVDs that are compromising moral nature, getting rid of the CDs which talk about things which Christians should not be thinking about, not thieving, not cheating, faithfully walking with God, and then dying for Jesus is one more step. But if you can't even worship in purity, don't think you're not going to deny Him. In a minute, we're going to do an altar call. But before we do that, we're going to have a time of prayer. Bow your heads with me in prayer, please. Oh Lord God, this is your holy word. Unsheathe the sword of your spirit. Judge now the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. I call upon those who've heard your word. You have said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've talked about faithfulness in scripture memory, in Bible study, Bible reading. There are those here who come and sit in pews week after week but do not give themselves to the disciplines of your holy word. I want to give them an opportunity now where they sit to repent and dedicate themselves, especially the young people here, that they would take the memorizing and studying of your word with more seriousness than they do their secular studies and with their text messaging. This is a decision that can be made this morning. I'll give you a moment to make it. We've talked this morning about moral purity, Lord. Riding clean water on a truck does not make it clean. Wearing Christian t-shirts does not make our witness clean. There are those here this morning who've been looking at improper things on the internet. Improper things at the newsstand. Engaged in improper conduct with their sisters in Christ, or even worse, non-Christian women or men. Hands where they should not be. Conduct inappropriate for the Son of God. Dress which does not reflect honor to God the Father or earthly Father. We give them now an opportunity to repent, O Lord God, to repent of us. We've talked this morning about honesty, O Lord God. About bribery, your great apostles languished in prison rather than paying bribes. Saints, even today, shovel manure rather than compromising their faith. There are DVDs and CDs that need to be broken this day and thrown in the trash where they belong. Either inappropriate content or content as a result of thievery. Now is the time of repentance. That clean water truck, all it needed was a hose to make it acceptable. We call upon your Holy Spirit now to hose down and bring to repentance those who have been negligent of your word, those who have been compromised in purity, those who have been involved in thievery. If you would like, while our heads are bowed, if you would like for me to pray for you this morning, if it is time for you to repent, I want to ask you just to raise your hand, please. You need to throw away some CDs or DVDs, and you would like me to pray for you. You did not pay the royalties on those. You simply stole them off the internet or through an intermediary. It's time for you to throw those away. You can raise your hand if you'd like me to pray for it. There may be some others. If you've been looking at inappropriate material on the internet, and it's time for you to stop. It's time for you to give yourself to moral excellence. If you'd like me to pray for you, then raise your hand. I'll be glad to pray for you. If you haven't been giving yourself to the Word the way you should, and you would like me to pray for you, I'd be glad to pray for you. Lord God, we pray for those who are here this morning. Father, before we come forward to ask for our blessing or our miracle, may we come forward with repentant hearts and according to your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you.